The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
Oh yeah, back in the saddle for 2019. Well, this man in the saddle for the first time. He's been riding bareback until now. Welcome to the saddle.
Thank you very much. Podcast time.
Yeah, this is your first podcast. Yeah. Shall we look at you go?
Potties. Love a pod.
Talk about losers at the tennis, Kyrgios and Tomic.
Yep.
Get stuck into them. What else we got? We got that commentary kid. He's a Brisbane school kid who did the commentary at the Big Bash.
He's just bloody great.
Yeah, from Terrace, 16 years old. He's got a big future, that kid. Also, we'll be talking about the pill testing and having a chat and with a police officer who thinks it should not happen.
Yes,
we didn't agree.
And close out with our good friend Rusty.
Rusty Crow, back Rusty on the Crow. Show for 2019. We're spoiled.
Playing Dylan Napa. This will be award-winning.
Enjoy.
Hey, for anyone who hasn't caught up with it, quite an incredible local story has been playing itself out on Fox Sports Cricket over the last couple of weeks. They've had a competition, said, give us your best commentary, and I've been interested as a commentator with Fox for 24 years. I'm always interested in going, oh, young blokes trying to have a go, and girls. And finally, they came to a win, and they had him on, I think you saw it the other night.
Yeah, Friday night.
Young bloke was on with Mark War, and they were going, well, he's going to get his chance in the box with Warney. Come, it was either Sunday or Monday. Here's a little bit of him now. His name's Joe Stretton. He's from Yeronga. This is when he got two overs in the game at the MCG the other night.
It's caught. Johan, the catchy character. He gets it. Larkin goes. Meredith's got a wicket. Warney's man.
Yeah, it was just beaten for pace.
What about this for a dream?
That's very good.
Yeah, that's great.
You commentate and then Warney's the next voice you hear. Well, let's talk to him now. Joe Stretton from Yeronga. Hello, mate.
G'day, Marto. I'm great, mate. How are you?
That is a voice you got there, Joe.
Sorry about that. That was a bit loud.
Joe, the commentary, the confidence, like how are you feeling when it was actually your moment? You're on national television, everyone's listening to you, you're sitting next to cricketing legends. What was going on in your head?
Well, it was a bit it was unreal to start with. And then I just sort of forgot about it because, I don't know if you noticed, they had me on before and I was eating an ice cream and it was just beforehand. So it was like a little adjustment.
Yeah.
Already had my head on telly and it was,
You had your ice cream, but you weren't mic'd up. I was watching this, Joe. And then they asked you to give you a plug for your Instagram account, okay? So how many did you have before the show, before you started?
So before the whole competition, about 390.
Yeah.
And then it got around the school, so it got up to 450.
Yeah.
And then from telly, there's about an extra 4,500.
Bang. All right, but the problem for me, Joe, they were trying to give you a plug. So you had a Howie, I can't remember who was in the middle, and Warney was there. They were trying to go, well, what's your handle?
Yeah.
And what is your handle, Joe, if anyone wants to follow? But you on national television on a night where a lot of people are watching the cricket, you couldn't remember what it was.
No, well, I had it right initially, but I think they got it mixed up. So I'll give them the blame for that one.
It is always good to just hand pass that off and blame someone else.
Warren's an idiot, isn't he? How did you find it? 1 minute you're on school holidays, next minute you're in the commentary box of the MCG. How was it?
Oh, like dead set, unreal. They looked after me terrifically at Fox. And, you know, they got us decent seats for the game and fed
You're in the commentary box, mate. They are pretty decent seats.
Yeah, it's hard to make a mistake up there. Like, the seats are that good.
So, Joe, what was the biggest misconception? Like, what were you most surprised about in that whole process?
The commentary box itself is really small.
Mm.
And both Warney and Vaughney are, like, big lads. No offence to them, but, like, they're... Sort of,
they've put on a few since their playing days, yes.
They're not swivel-hip youngsters like yourself.
Yeah, so they're both big fellas, and we had the secondary comm box because Channel 7 was hosting, so it was sort of difficult to negotiate, adjusting all the screens. And
you're in the commentary closet, not so much the commentary box.
It was a bit,
How did you get into this? Who was your hero? Was it Ravs Warren? Was it Richie Benno? Was it the 12th man?
I like Ray Warren. I like Ryan HG.
Oh, wow. Gee, you're a young man to be loving Ryan HG. That's good on you.
Well, it was actually, this sounds silly. It makes me sound like a suck up.
Yeah.
But last year, I used to mute Channel 9 and put on Triple M, and there was a little 2 second delay at the telly, but I'd still watch it because the commentary was just broad, honest, and they just said what they were thinking. And so whoever's on Triple M last year, they were just great.
Oh, you mean the cricket or the rugby league?
Yeah, the cricket. From last year.
Nice. It was great, mate.
We got dudded.
Got our promo for Willow Talk there, though. So that's wonderful. Joe Stretton, commentator extraordinaire. Well done. Catch every BBL match live and ad break free on Fox.
Where do you go to school, Joey?
Gregory Terrace in the city.
Oh, good boy.
Terrace boy. There you go. Well, well done, Joe. I reckon you've got a big future ahead. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Top work.
Well, the owner of the Rabbitohs, of course, they've stolen Wayne Bennett. That this man...
Did he win any Academy Awards?
Yes, I did.
Academy Award winner and friend of the show, Russell Crowe.
Hey, Rusty.
Now, Marto, you know that I've won an Academy Award, mate. You know that I was the gladiator. That's right. Chief of the Felix Division. Anyway, I won't go into it.
Hello, really?
To you, Robert Bailey.
Hello, and, Rusty.
And to you, Nick Cody.
G'day, Rusty.
Welcome to the Big Breakfast, mate. I love your work.
Now, I've heard that you've decided to play Dylan Napa. What's led you to that decision?
Well, you know, I've been playing larger people, so Dylan's a pretty solid guy. I played Roger Ailes, the head of Fox News. I played Harry Power, a bushranger that influenced Ned Kelly. Don't say fat.
just large, thick, solid. Thick unit.
I'm actually looking at a script now about AJ Rochester from Honestly.
And Rusty, what are you doing to prepare for your role, mate?
He's a massive unit. Spending a lot of time at KFC eating Zinger Burgers. Yes. As you know, in one of the videos, Dylan's tucking into a Zinger Burger while somebody else pleasures him. I haven't got the other person to play that part of the role yet, so I'm just down at KFC with my pants off eating Zinger Burgers.
Okay. How are the Rabbitohs looking this year?
Well, that's right. I also wanted to go down to the Bulldogs to get into the club culture and find out what exactly beats in Dylan's head. But I'm a Rabbitoh, and we are the club this year. As you know, last year we didn't really do that well, but this year it's going to be different because you know, the Roosters forever in our shadow. And I've been through the Rabbitoh way. You know the Rabbitoh way. I think Brendo tried to live the Rabbitoh way for a while.
I did, yeah. It didn't work out well, did it?
Yeah, you'd live in rented accommodation. There's got to be a smashed window in the front of the house, a car body in the front garden with grass growing up through it, and you've got to remove one of your own rotten teeth with a pair of pliers.
Oh, sure. Rabbitoh way. Are you off the durries, Russ?
No, but can you give me a light?
There we go.
The magic of radio, being able to light a cigarette down the phone. Come to where the flavour is.
So, Rusty, come on, tell us about Terry, if you caught up over the Christmas break.
Terry
Well,
who?
As you know, Terry Irwin and I are very close friends, and I've run through many, many different role players on the Big Breakfast. But, yeah, Terry and I got back together over the summer break, and we've got a new role play, the box jellyfish.
What is it?
I swim around under the water with a snorkel, of course, and wrap my legs around, wrap my tentacles around Terry's legs, and then she gets a surf lifesaver to urinate on me. Terrific fun.
Russ, just because you're the only one who probably knows the answer to this, Sam Burgess, your club captain at the Rabbitohs, separated from his wife Phoebe, and it doesn't sound pretty, but thankfully you're like a marriage counsellor. You grabbed him and took him up to your fabulous property at Nana Glen.
That's right, Marto.
What goes on up there at Nana Glen? It's a big property.
I'll run you through it, but first of all, I just want to say that Sam's Rolex turned up in a video, and clearly someone had stolen it and put it on and tried to frame
clearly.
Put an English accent on. Well,
I thought Sam needed a little bit of fatherly guidance in his life, being very close to the family, and I thought he needed a father figure. So I took him up to Nana Glen and just did some traditional father-son type activities. We went nude quad biking, discharged firearms. Yeah. But Sam, he really arced up around bath time. Doesn't want to wear jammies and go nine-nine. So,
All right, thanks for taking our call too, Rusty. We know you were mid-box jellyfish, so it's nice. If you get back to it, we'll catch you soon.
All right. Terry, I'm coming. give us another lie before I go, Brendo.
Oh, here we go. Absolutely. Yeah. Enjoy that on the way out.
When only the best will do. See you guys.
Bye, Russell.
Now, I've got a couple of teenagers at home, or one's 20-year-old, one's 19, who go to festivals and stuff, and I tell you what, they were interested, sitting down watching the news last night, to see Campbell Newman, the man who shut down all the bikies and the drug trade and did a great job.
Former Premier.
He's done a bit of an about-face.
Young people who I talk to tell me it's cheaper and easier to buy drugs than to buy alcohol.
He's got kids about the same age as me, so they're the young people that he's talking to. So I started talking to the young people that I own. Well, I'm sort of the sponsor.
Which one, Hilly or Harry?
Both of them had a bit of a go. I said, what about this pill testing and stuff? And they said, well, they're idiots who are taking it if you don't know what's inside. I said, well, that's what pill testing's about. They're going to take it. And they said, well, Harry was telling me, he said, the drug sniffer dogs, when they do it down in New South Wales, they panic. And I'd heard this before. And they take four or five, however many they got, they pull them out of their hat, wherever
they
got them.
And they digest them.
And then they're stuffed. Then they're really crook. Stuffed. And then Hillary made this point about alcohol's too expensive. That's why they take pills. Righto, we're clear on that. But then she said the water inside is so expensive that a lot of them aren't taking because she had a friend die recently, okay? Mm-hmm. So she's kind of concerned. He didn't drink enough water, apparently, and because it's too expensive.
A lot of people, like my mate, died because he hadn't taken them in a long, long time and he'd put on a lot of weight. It was 40 degrees. He hadn't drunk any water day.
Anyway, don't worry about it. But that's the thing. There's a whole lot of different things. But they both said, well, if you are a pill taker, and there's so many people are, you should be testing the bloody things.
Yeah, well, that's one side of the story. The other side of the story comes up. We've got Ian Levers, who's from Queensland Police Union President and CEO. Hey, Ian.
Good morning.
You are very much against pill testing, are you not?
Absolutely, and I think taking or testing of illegal drugs for people to see whether or not they're quite lethal enough to kill you even sounds ridiculous. And what it will do, it is condoning the crowd to taking illegal drugs, and presumably police turn a blind eye inside these festivals. Yet once someone leaves the concert, does the same thing apply? No, we would arrest them. It is condoning this behaviour. And some of the arguments I've just heard, well, alcohol's expensive because of tax.
Yeah.
Let's be upfront about that. So what do you want to do about it? And I think it will just empower the illegal drug trade to target our young people, and it'll lead to more deaths.
Why can't the government, is there any chance in the future the government can take over production of all drugs, psychedelic or otherwise? We're waging a war on drug takers, not on drugs, and it hasn't won, it never will. Why don't we just say, government, take it over and tax it, whether it's marijuana, whether it's these pills, and then we all make money out of the bloody stuff instead of these bikies.
I'd like to get rid of the bikies, full stop. But I'll say this, we haven't legalised murder, and that still occurs as well, and other serious offences as well. So the answer just to legalise something because it's going to occur, I don't think is an option. And I can say this as a police officer. When you've had someone die in your arms from an OD, that is not easy. And then further, having to talk to their parents late at night and tell them their young son or daughter is not coming home, that's one of the hardest things as a police officer you'll ever have to do.
A lot of these kids are uni students or apprentices or whatever, and if they take a pinger and next thing you know, they're dead.
Ian, if you've ever heard the music at these festivals, you need something. Mm. It is terrible songs. It's so bad.
Absolutely, and it's probably arrest not the DJs. Where I go.
Ian, do you have young people who go to festivals in your lives? Because as parents, Amato and I, our kids are similar ages. The reality is, of these young people aged from, say, 18 to 25, 26, they will experiment. And as a parent of one of those kids, I want to keep them safe.
And I'll say, my 15-year-old son, he'll be knocking on the door very shortly, attending to a lot of things. So I get that. And I do see both sides. But I'll say this, I think condoning, because it's not just in those locations, do you legalise all types of drugs and other activities simply because it's going to happen? I think it is fraught with danger.
Ian Leaves, Queensland Police Union President and CEO. Thanks for your time, and that is your opinion, but we'd like yours, 133353, Robin.
And we should say that our former Premier, Campbell Newman, has completely changed his view since being Premier, and then now as just a normal human has come out saying that, you know, we should... he wasn't human when he was Premier.
Oh, I like Campbell Newman when he was Premier. I like him now. But the thing was, he was the one who got rid of the bikies. He said, right, they're the ones running all the drugs. So he tried to shut them down. So that was his attitude now. Now his kids, if I remember correctly, his two girls would be around
your
festival going age.
And they were asking him for money. And he's like, pills are cheaper. Let's get them tested. So he can pay for all these vodka sodas.
That's where Campbell Newman is.
Well, we want to know, what do you reckon? Should pill testing happen at music festivals? Adrian of the Gold Coast, what do you think?
Oh, definitely. It gives the guys, they're going to take them anyway, but it gives them the opportunity to find out what's actually in them. And then they can make the decision whether they take them or not. Yeah. The way it is at the moment, they're going to go to a festival with a pocket full of pills, with the police around, they're going to take more than they probably should so they don't get arrested.
And the reality is too, isn't it, Adrian, that when they do test them and these kids see that there's these horrible chemicals in them, 99.9% of them go chuck them in the bin, which is what you actually want.
You get told it's got battery acid in it. Yeah. What are you going to do? you're not going to take it, are you? You know, common sense will tell you they're not. And it works all around the world. So why wouldn't it work here?
Fair call. We agree with you.
Haven't they done it at one music festival?
Yeah,
they
in,
have
Canberra.
Down in Canberra.
They did in Canberra.
How did that go?
Yeah, it was, and then that's success. Where the results yeah. were. The yeah. kids were throwing the stuff away because they had battery acid.
Harm reduction.
Stephen of Logan Home, what do you reckon about pill testing?
No way. No.
Why?
No. Well, okay. Have you ever taken a pill, Rob?
Have I in my much younger days? Would I incriminate myself? Why, Stephen?
All right. Marto, have you ever taken a pill?
Negative, Steve.
All right. Me either. So we managed to go through festivals. We don't need it. You can have fun without taking a substance that takes you out of your brain. And at the end of the day, telling them their pill is safe-ish only means that they could accidentally, whether the police are there or not, whatever the stimulus is, take too many.
But, Stephen, okay, seriously, trying to tell an 18 or 19-year-old don't do it, it's going to hurt you, is completely it's just not going to happen.
Did you drink too much alcohol, Steve? Did you drink too much alcohol occasionally, especially when you're watching bands?
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
There you go. Mm. It's exactly the same, and at least if we can have pill testing, it'll keep them safe.
No, it won't. It won't keep them safe. It's not going to keep them safe. An accident, what? You still don't know what's in it. You still don't know that it's safe. You only know that it's missing a few chemicals that are going to be potentially really dangerous.
That's what they're checking for.
Yeah. So you do know it's going to be
you
safe.
You do know it's safe. Kathy of Castledine, what do you reckon about pill testing?
Oh, it just makes my blood boil whenever I see it on TV. The idiot said it's just pure stupidity. If any of those kids thinking of taking pills, come spend a day with me.
Why?
Why? What happened, Kathy?
Do you sell pills?
Yeah.
Why, Kath?
My daughter was on prescribed medication. She never took any other type of drugs or anything. She took 4 extra sleeping tablets.
Oh, prescription drugs.
Hang on, what happened, Kathy?
She died. She died in her sleep.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's under the banner of suicide, and it was 4 tablets. Why don't these kids, why don't they say, well, they took their own tablets, they physically put them in their mouths, it's suicide. It's accidental suicide, but it's still under that horrible stigma.
Yeah.
As you would know, Robin, it's
yes,
just a horrible
I do.
Stigma. It just makes my blood boil when I hear these kids. It's just stupid.
Well, they're being kids. They're learning, and some of them don't get through.
How old was your daughter, Kathy?
She was 25.
Mm. And how long ago?
4 years.
Yeah, and it just never leaves you. This is the reality.
Yeah, I have her ashes tattooed on a portrait in my arm.
Yeah. Well, hopefully your story gets through to some people as well. We're so sorry, Kathy, and thanks for calling. We know that's hard. It's the Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M. Triple M's Millionaire Listener starts Monday. Got more details for you after 8 o'clock, but if you feel like being $1 million richer, I'd listen out.
For those of you who don't come close to the city, there's been a phenomenon going on in the last couple of months over summer called Lime Scooters. Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen
them
yet, Nick?
Hanging around everywhere.
You haven't been in Brisbane too long?
Heaps of them.
All right.
Seen heaps of them.
Robin, describe what they are.
Okay, they're just an electric scooter that you can log on with an app, and basically I think it's $1 for the first minute, and then
So somebody said to us yesterday they went from West End along the river and all the way over
to Tenerife
for $20.
And it took an hour.
Isn't that what it'll take in the cab?
Yeah, but it's a fun thing to do.
They go at 25 kilometres an hour, they give you a helmet, they're green in colour, that's the lime.
Do they give you a helmet?
Yeah. You get a little green, lime green helmet.
Okay.
Some of them have been stolen.
I've not seen many lime green.
There's a bloke rounds them up at the end of the day, or he has them on his phone and he puts them in the back of the van and they go and charge them. It might take off, not sure. All right, but we were talking yesterday. It's only a matter of time because I heard about these blokes that had a pub crawl. Riding Lime Scooters. I said, it's only a matter of time. And then last night on the news, away we go. Listen to this bloke. He's done it all.
A Lime scooter user has been charged with drink driving after being caught riding more than three times over the legal limit. Police will allege the 43-year-old Newstead man was travelling along James Street without a helmet and ran a red light, nearly causing a collision. They say he returned a blood alcohol reading of 0.174.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. That's great.
One bad apple.
That is great. I love police will allege. So, mate, we saw it. You know what you did.
It's on camera.
No helmet.
Aussie tennis is in a tailspin. I don't know why you want to unpack this. It's obviously all Leighton Hewitt's fault.
Oh, no. Got a new angle. Peter Dutton's being brought into this.
What?
The Home Affairs Minister.
Potato Head. It's the big breakfast. Triple M.
Quite a coup. We got the up-and-coming great comedian, Nick Cody. Can I call you that or just great comedian?
Mate, I'll take anything. Oh, that was nice.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks,
now,
mate.
Here's your quiz question. The greatest living Queenslander.
Well, Wally Lewis.
Mm. Oh, good answer. The correct answer. But
oh,
no.
Oh, really? Is there someone greater than Wally Lewis in your mind?
Have you ever heard of this man?
Make Australia great. Fast trains to Brisbane. 1 hour to the CBD. For up to 300 kilometres away. Make Australia great.
Stop him. Stop him. He comes through
the top of clock.
No, he came up on my feet on my phone putting some political thing last week. Like, leave me alone.
Send a few texts about it. He said he's got unlimited money to spend. I don't know what he's up to. As a recent introductee to Brisbane, as a recent arrival, what are you making of him?
The texts were a bit annoying. Yeah, the texts were very annoying. His ads, though, I don't want to vote for him just because his Photoshop is so bad. Like, the yellow, it is a bright,
Is it a good fat man's colour?
It's a good fat man's colour. Fat man's yellow. I had that in my Derwents, in my 24 Derwents. So I had fat man's yellow when I was...
Did you see his board game last night?
All right. Now, I've analysed it this morning quite heavily.
Of course you have.
So here's the ad, okay? So it plays to... Boy George's band, what were they called?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. They're your quiet personal favourites.
Culture Classic. That's the real Boy George. Clive Palmer has commissioned a video game, where he hops along, he stands on the cockroach, which has Bill Shorten's head on it, he jumps on Anastasia Palaszczuk, and he also collects Tim Tams along the way. I thought it was a piss take, and simply that, you know, this is somebody's done this to make fun of him. He's partially funded the game.
Of course he has, because he can.
Listen to the music of it.
Who else would fund that?
Well, I thought the video game people must have done it.
Oh, what? EA Sports? You reckon they're getting in on a Clive Palmer game?
Have a listen to it. Have a listen to the light lyrics. But Chameleon, of course, rhymes with billion. Palmer's with a billion. He's got 12 votes. And he needs your vote.
He's got 12 what?
12 boats. 12 boats. And he needs your vote.
Oh, man, he's really won me over. Let's back this battler.
From a house down in Melbourne or on the Gold Coast. From the horrors of Ipswich or even up the coast. It's Triple M. Bogan's News.
Let's kick off with a little bit of local Bogan News here, guys. Bogan News stories are my favourite. Let's start with a Gold Coast couple. Good start for a Bogan News story. You know, it's not New Farm, it's not Ascot. A Gold Coast couple have been kicked out of their house for failing to repay a bank loan to build an elaborate magic kingdom in their backyard.
Oh,
what sort of
the poor
magic
guys,
kingdom?
Jonathan and Lakita, Leah Martin again. Great Bogan name.
Give us a spelling.
L-E-K-E-E-T-A.
That is the Bogan News. Someone's called Lakita.
They've lost.
They take that from Lorikita. It's the same sort of spelling as Lorikita.
Well,
okay.
I like lorikeets.
Yeah, I like lorikeets.
What you need to
and
know,
I'm a Bogan, Lakita.
What you need to know about Marto is he's very meticulous about spelling and about grammar.
Yeah. So Bogan names will blow your mind.
I love them.
So upsetting. Poor Lakita, they've lost a long-running battle with the Commonwealth Bank to save their 12-year home after taking out a $63,000 extra loan for a replica Disney castle in their backyard.
Like as in a construction, like bricks and mortar Disney
bricks
castle?
Bricks and mortar Disney castle in their backyard.
Was it for their children as a
they
doll
don't have
house?
Kids.
They don't have kids.
They don't have kids.
An exotic just, bedroom to fantasy play?
We all know it's Hollywood on the Gold Coast, guys. It's not Disneyland on the Gold Coast. That's where they've come unstuck.
Oh, no.
So when the bank takes the receivership, do they take it of the castle or do they take it of the whole property?
Interesting.
Will they drive away property? On a trailer? Like, will they just put Disneyland on a trailer and drive away?
And I love the Gold Coast paper has taken a sweet little dig in at the end and said the Disney castle was not visible from the street. Which means... Which means there's not one. Nice bit of domestic bogan news, yes, but we all know bogans know no borders. International bogan news this week. Wichita Falls, Texas. Mm-hmm. Police in northern Texas say a woman has been banned from a local Walmart. Great start to a bogan news story. Man. You've been banned from the shops after she spent several hours driving an electric shopping cart around the store's parking lot while drinking wine from a Pringles can.
Oh, she didn't even have a goon bag.
No. I reckon she's heard the word decanter and you go, I don't know what that means, but I know cans in it. The worst part about drinking booze from a Pringles can is that you've already had all your snacks. But you've gone through all your snacks.
You can recap it, though.
Yeah, some grapes and grapes and bloody chips.
Triple M.
So this is the front page of today's Courier Mail, and I may be a little biased because I spent a week last week down in Currumbin, and we happened to be in a house, and the house next door was being totally demolished and rebuilt. And my alarm clock on my holidays, the last week of my holidays, was at about 6:30, 7 a.m. with some big digger starting to dig through and make a hell of a lot of noise.
So it's no use me saying how big was the excavator? Was it a 13-ton, 20-ton?
I have no idea.
I didn't know there were different size ones. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, mate. Anyway, so
let's Google
it. It works to my favour that the front page of today's Courier Mail is all about a Greens councillor, Jonathan Shree, saying to Brisbane City Council that we should change the noise restriction on construction on weekends and make it compulsory that it cannot start before 8 a.m. Hear, hear. I didn't realise we hadn't already got that in place.
On a weekend, for sure. Yeah.
No.
I didn't think that. I thought that would be a thing already.
No. It is in Victoria. It is in New South Wales.
As well,
we are not tree huggers.
Yeah,
we
mate,
just
this Greens
like
bloke, this Jonathan Tree, he runs around in Alibaba pants with a pink beanie on and stuff.
It does not
trying
matter
to have a sleep in on a
wears.
Sunday. You hippie.
Yeah. Hold on. So you want to stand in the way of progress? You like living in a house? Well, they have to get built. They have to get built at some stage.
Okay, not at 6 o'clock in the morning.
On a Sunday?
No, no Sundays. There's never any work on a Sunday or a public holiday. You can't make noise. But this tree hugging bloke, he is trying to say, what is it? Nothing before 8 o'clock. But he's saying Monday to Friday, no, I've read further into this, no jackhammering or demolition before 9 a.m. Monday to Friday.
Oh, well, that's a bit
because
silly.
Because none of the people that voted for him have got a job.
Okay, that's okay, that's not why.
So, all the people were rave
okay,
and they got home at
what,
4.
No.
Oh, I'm feeling a bit seedy.
Okay, what's I'm okay for 7 a.m. Monday to Friday. I think that's a fair
what's
call.
7 a.m.
You know, it's 6:30. You're allowed to make noise from 6:30 if you're in a city, like a big building block. It's only domestic
that's
residential
rude.
That at 7 a.m.
That's
then
rude.
You're not. 7 a.m. is okay?
7 a.m. is okay,
sure.
Monday to Friday. But seriously, like people, 10 o'clock on a Saturday. Like, give
but
us a Saturday. Break.
But the thing is, otherwise, if we start at 10 o'clock, we don't finish till 3 at the moment. It's usually 7 till 1 on a
Nothing's
Saturday.
Nothing's open at 3 p.m. on a Saturday.
But if you were in construction, wouldn't you like to finish your working week? Like, all right, for us, where everyone else finishes their working week on Friday, arvo. Poor construction workers, a lot of them finish at 1 p.m. on a Saturday. Mm. You want them to have to work through until 4 because because you need a little sleepy innie?
Yes. Actually,
yeah, I think that's what Robin was getting at.
I think that's her point.
Actually,
they'll get a sleep in too.
Side,
they'll get
good.
A sleep in as well. Everyone's getting
all
a sleep in.
All you do is encourage them to go out on a Friday night if they know they can sleep in.
Yes. And then
I actually feel, before we go to the calls, that I'm possibly on a hiding to nowhere here with our Triple M guys. Ryan of Redcliffe, what do you reckon?
Oh, mate, I'm with Marto on this. You know, half the day's already wasted by 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, you guys need to get up a little bit earlier and enjoy the day.
Well, say a third of the day, 24 hours.
It's not about us. We're a 3:30 starters, but it's about this bloody Jonathan Shree. We should expose that tree hugger. No. He's the member for West End. Doesn't that say it all?
It's the ninth time you've said tree hugger.
I've never seen him hug a tree, but it's a generalisation.
He just wants demolition pushed back an hour and he's like, tree hugger.
Thank you, Ryan. Let's move on to Jason of Tingalpa. Morning, Jason. What do you think about construction times on a Saturday morning?
Well, basically, the biggest thing is we're outside. It's 27 degrees at 6 a.m. You did a big skin cancer run just before Christmas. I mean, you want to push us all back when it was, what, we start work at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, it's 35 degrees.
Jace, that's so true. Well, my son is an apprentice carpenter. He was in the sun all day yesterday doing something. But, yeah, because I said, how are you? What about we go to the Spanish-Italian summer method in French and have a rest for 3 hours in the middle of the day? Start at 7, go till 12, and then come back
again. Well, the Spanish actually rest when they do it. You know full well Aussie blokes are just going to smash a few skins.
Sorry.
Thanks,
that's
Jace.
True, isn't it, Jace?
Yeah. Chris of Ocean View, what do you reckon about changing construction times to later on a Saturday?
Yeah, well, they've already pushed the pub opening times to 10:30. We've already got to work that late. What do they want us to do, make 0 o'clock 4 p.m?
Yes.
I think Chris has just demonstrated who we're talking to.
Yes. I think Robin got her answer.
Thanks. It's
the big breakfast. Yes.
Triple M. I do.
Getting to know Nick Cody. Getting to know all about Nick Cody.
Oh, who's that angel's voice?
Oh, I don't know.
Guys, I've got a young family, beautiful wife, Lucia, little bub, Charlie, and we've got a dog. Not any type of dog, a Staffy.
Ooh.
Staffy cross Kelpie.
Now, I love this. I've got a full Kelpie.
Yeah.
So I was interested when you showed me that photo. That's one of those beautiful dogs. Have you seen it?
Markings.
Brindle,
gorgeous.
Would you call it Brindle?
Brindle. It is Brindle.
We'll put that up
it's
in our
It's the neck tattoo. Brindle is the neck tattoo of dog colouring. Like if people see Brindle, I just cross the street. You know what I mean? It's up to no good, a Brindle
actually,
dog.
That's true. I had a Brindle greyhound and people were, you know, little fluffy muffin dogs were very nervous.
Yeah.
Brindle's pretty active dog. Kelpies are non-stop and Staffies are pretty full on too.
Yeah. And we moved house last month just before Christmas because we're idiots. And our neighbours have left us a note. Not in our letterbox, in the next door neighbour's letterbox. They stuffed it up. So,
so they couldn't even work out which house the dog was
your
in.
Your dog's been so loud that they
thrown off their hearing. They don't know where they are. Oh. But neighbours from the street behind dropped this in my next door neighbour's letterbox. All capitals, by the way, handwritten note, all capitals. So they mean business. We are all fed up. Your dog has kept us up all night with its barking, chasing possums. Enough is enough. They spelled enough right the first time and got it incorrect the second time.
Double F with the E-N-U-F-F.
This has been going on for far too long. We've literally been there for 2.5 weeks.
Yes.
Please do something to stop this behaviour. Now, with behaviour, they've gotten B-E-H-A-V-U, and then they went, that can't be right, cross out U. R, that can't be right, crossed out R. Nah, we'll just leave R. So they've got behaviour spelled B-E-H-A-V-U-R. Residents... two E's, no I, and then the street.
Marta would have had a conniption by now. Got that in his letterbox.
I don't know if to take them seriously.
Oh, you got to. They're angry. Neighbours get angry. You're the only person who loves your dog.
Yeah.
No one else likes it. No one thinks
love
it's cute.
Dog.
No. They don't realise your dog's chasing a possum that's walking along the top of your fence.
But
or whatever
here's the thing. If it's at night, aren't you hearing it?
Yeah, I am hearing it, but barely. You can barely hear the dog.
Are you a yeller? What's the name of your dog?
Yumi. Oh, why you? My wife named her Yumi after her favourite brand of hummus.
Yeah,
we are very different people.
Wait. This is a Stafford. This is a hard ass Staffordshire Kelpie. That's called
Yumi. Go on. No,
what
you
said.
Yeah, Marta was so going to yell out the dog's name and give
Marta's
us a role play.
Marta's bleeding from both ears. I don't know if that's good. Is that?
Come on, Marta.
Don't you test that with your dog? You go out to the back. You know, whatever you're going to yell out. Hey, Frank. My dog's name's Ted. What's your dog's name?
Ray.
Ray. Hey, Ray. Shut up. Hey, Ted. Shut up.
Because it's a Staffy.
Yummy.
Quiet, please.
That's why it's barking.
Take my name.
That does sound very similar to what its bark is.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Television last night was packed full of losers. If you watched the A-League, did you see what happened there?
No.
5-0, the Roar got beaten.
I don't They're having a shocker. They're second last, I think.
All right. If you watch that celebrity Get Me in the Jungle out,
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Losers.
Well, yeah, they're always losers.
If you watch the cricket, Sean Marsh scored a century. I don't believe that. But losers. The Indians were giving us a flogging again. And then Kyrgios. The whole thing. What were you watching last night? So Kyrgios got flogged last night as well.
Double. I was at double screens. Cricket on one. tennis on the other.
How did you do that?
Well, I had the laptop open, watches streaming sports on there, and then tennis on the TV, and I can't believe it. It's for work now. How good is that? How good is that? A bit of research. I'm watching losers on two screens.
All right. I was watching it. And then when they couldn't get Coley out, I just went, oh, bugger this. And then I'm curious. You don't know, but Nick Kyrgios killed my father. It's a long story. I'll tell you another day.
Okay, wow. He actually didn't, but Marto blames him because his dad was watching the TV.
My dad was swearing at Kyrgios. I'll tell you the full story later, but Kyrgios was on TV being a dick, and Dad said, I wouldn't give that something or other a feed, and then died.
Mm. Had a heart attack and
Kyrgios killed my father. Yeah. So I was watching last night. And
it's a little sensitive. Hasn't gotten over it. Been a couple of years. It's
not a good night to ring Mum.
Okay,
she would have been watching Kyrgios and throwing things at the TV set. All right. So Kath said, have you rung your mum? And I said, I rang her last night and she knew Kyrgios was coming up and I know exactly what she'd be doing. She'd be yelling like I normally yell at the TV, and that's probably where I got it from.
So you were happy that he lost?
You guys should stop yelling at Kyrgios on the telly, I reckon.
No. I love this. Those two pair of losers, Tomic first. Well, Tomic, you know, the night before, we haven't had a chance to play this, got stuck into, you've just lost because you're hopeless, not like all these young up-and-coming stars who are hungry with a great attitude, and then you get into Leighton Hewitt straight after the match.
It's all Leighton. I mean, I'm going to say honest, though, it's, no one likes him anymore. He's just doing, you know, he's doing the wrong thing, and he's playing Davis. I thought he's retired.
No, we're all thinking it.
No one likes him anymore. Yeah.
Why did you lose the game? That red-headed bloke from ages ago. No one likes him. That's why I'm terrible.
I kept listening, checking whether he blamed the sorbent teller, you know, the sorbent ad that Leighton used to do. Yeah, remember he did the toilet paper ad? That's why he's such a deal.
You mentioned I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. When Tomic was on in the last series, we realised the man has mental, like he's not
How
okay.
How long did he last in that show? One?
Yeah, 2 days, and then he said he had to go because he couldn't cope. So
I do prefer Marto's name for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me in the Jungle.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, I'm not a celebrity. Are you handing out money to go to the jungle? Let's not. So Tomic's standing there and he keeps on going on about Leighton.
He doesn't put Nick first. He doesn't put the Kokkinakis first. He's probably, he always thinks of himself, and it's not good. He's not playing anymore. You're not playing, bro. You're retired, I thought.
Yeah. So there's the three of them.
You're not playing, bro.
There's the three of them. There's Kokkinakis.
He's not putting the blokes that lost in front of him. That's weird. That's a weird captain's move.
Stories. So they've got Tomic. Kokkinakis is gone too. He's one of the tribe that hates Leighton. And then there's Nick Kyrgios last night. And they asked him after he lost, because I'm a knee sore. They asked him, what did you think about the comments about Leighton?
I always want to play Davis Cup. Like, I love Davis Cup. If I don't play, I don't play. Like, I'm available, so that's all I've got to say.
Are you upset that Bernard made those comments last night and mentioned you?
With all the issues that are going on in the world, we're focusing on someone's comments about Davis Cup. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, Kyrgios. You good play point. Tennis and a journalist is asking a tennis player about tennis. What are your thoughts on Syria, Nick Kyrgios? It's like, what do you want him to ask? You play tennis, idiot. Tennis questions are coming your way.
The big breakfast on Triple A.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.